We discussed yesterday the two or really three different options as to what the Hagdara of Bishul is. Yesterday we discussed the Shita of Tosfos and the Rambam and Rashi, that it's about making it more edible. Once you reach that minimum level of Kamacham and Josiah, as long as you make it even more edible, so then that would be the definition of Bishul on Shabbos. We discussed the opinion of the Radvaz. The Radvaz is of the opinion that as long as the whole definition is just to make it edible. Once it's edible, so then it's no longer defined as cooking on Shabbos. And then that's also the explanation of the Rashba, or the explanation of the Rashba is that you just need to create, according to Rabbi Willig, you need to create a Chetza HaMavushal. The whole definition is just to create this Chetza HaMavushal, which is accomplished through cooking. So today, I'd like to discuss another Hagdara that's found in the Rishonim of what Bishul is. Perhaps this is even the Shita of the Ramah. And also, we'll see that it's possible to have a combination of these definitions. It's not just one definition, but you could have multiple definitions as to what the Hagdara of Bishul is. So the first source is the Or Zeruah. The Or Zeruah, we've seen it, has a definition. He's discussing yayin, cooking wine, and he's assuming that cooking wine does not make it more edible. He's assuming that cooking wine does not enhance the taste. And he says that when you cook wine, you are not chayav mishum bishul because it doesn't enhance the taste. But he says avam mishum avashim devash ibusamim bosim menu mashke vada yesh bo mishum bishul. But he says that if you cook wine with all these other spices and honey and all these other things, that is chayav mishum bishul. Why? So that's his hagdara of what bishul is on Shabbos, is because it's mishtane letam acher. Since you're changing the taste through putting the food on the fire, so then that's the definition of bishul. He says, therefore, his next line is, therefore, yirakol shenachol shenchayin. So far, all the opinions that we've seen so far have said that if you cook something which is raw, except for the Rabbi Willig's pshat on the Rashba, if you cook something which is raw, so then edible raw on Shabbos, so then you would be putter. Comes the Or Zeruah and argues, and he says that if you have food which is edible raw, but through cooking it you're going to change the taste, you're going to enhance the taste, even though it's edible raw and you're not changing it being more edible, it was already edible, but you're changing the taste, so then you will be chayav on Shabbos. He says, "Sharpe is alvish and achon kshein chayin yish behem mishum bishul." There is bishul. Why? Shari mismak make tamam mishdan al tam acher kshehem is bashlam, because you're changing the taste. So therefore, you will be chayav on Shabbos for cooking food which is edible raw. So that's the opinion of the Or Zeruah. The Or Zeruah within the Riva. He's quoting the Riva here, and then at the very end, he says that wait a minute, the Riva really went back on it. Riva said that yain, cooking wine, he said originally one would be putter on Shabbos because you're not changing the taste. And then at the end he says, Ludvar Shapiris to be Yain, Aimbo Mishum Bishul, they really, according to what he's saying, that Yain which would be putter from Bishul, so then you would also be putter by Shemen. But then he says, Mi Raisi Kasar Shakhazar Bam Masha Amar to be Yain Aimbo Mishum Bishul. But really the Riva was Chozer, and he really held that you are Chayev to cook wine. The big question is, so then what changed? Why all of a sudden are you now Chayev when you cook wine on Shabbos? If it doesn't change the taste, so at first glance it would be that he has a totally different Hagdara Bishul. This whole change changes his Hagdara Bishul. Now the Hagdara Bishul is no longer about changing the taste, but it's about something else. Let's say the Hagdara Bishul would be the fact that it makes it more edible. I'm not really sure in terms of the mitzvah of cooking wine, but let's assume that cooking wine makes it more edible, so then he could have a different definition. His definition could be that it's making it more edible. And if that's the case, so then he would also be chozer on his other statement, which is that if you cook food which is edible raw, so then you would also be putter, because it's already edible, so you're not cooking anything. The Hagdara Bishul is to make something which is inedible to edible, and then he would also be chozer on that point, and that you would also be putter if you cook that which is edible raw. But you don't even really have to go so far. You could say the following, that he really has two definitions for what bishul is. Why is he chozer by wine? Because he defines bishul as both changing the taste, either changing the taste or making it edible or more edible, so then that will make you chayev on Shabbos for bishul. Either one would constitute the Hagdara of Bishul. And that's why by wine, you would be Chayav on Shabbos, because you're making it more edible. And also, you would also be Chayav on Shabbos, it's food which is edible raw, you'd also be Chayav because that's enhancing the taste. So it doesn't, you don't have to say that the Riva is being closer on both statements, you could just say that he's being closer on the statement about wine, because he really has a broader definition of Bishul. It's not just one definition for Bishul, but you can have multiple definitions for what Bishul is. It could either be making it more edible, or it could be enhancing the taste. It doesn't have to be one or the other one, it could be both of them. And so he has a broader definition for Bishul. You could say either one for his Chazara from his original statement. Do you have a question? Okay, so in terms of this definition of just being mishtabeach, the taste, that in enhancing the taste, it seems to be that this is the psak of the Rama. In Shin Yud Ches, Yud Dalet, the Rama says that if you cook peros, oshar devar, menachon, kemos shein chayin, you would be chayiv on Shabbos. If you cook food which is edible raw, so then one would be chayiv on Shabbos. So we saw that based on the other definitions that we had yesterday, this would be a little strange, because if it's about improving, making it more edible, or just making it from inedible to edible, so then one should be pater, and the Mishnah Berurah already picks up on this. And the Mishnah Berurah in Shin Yud Ches Tzad Aleph, he points out that the Rama must be holding that the Shayach behen Bishul Shehei Mishtabten Ayideh, since you're improving the taste, or in cases where you are improving the taste, where even though it's edible raw, but you're improving the taste, so then one would be Chayav on Shabbos for this. And this seems to be also this seems to be based on the opinion of the Or Zeruah that we mentioned. The Shaar HaTzion then seems to take this one step further. He says that he has a different explanation in the Rambam than we had yesterday. The Rambam that we had yesterday, we thought was the same pshat as Tosos and Rashi, that the definition is to make it more edible. And the reason why we thought that was because he says Hamavash al Or, this is in Tes Gimel, he says Hamavash al Or Davar Shayim Mavush al Kol Tzarcho, if it's completely cooked, O Davar She'inu Tzarch Bishol Klal Pater. He says it has to be Nispash al Kol Tzarcho before Shabbos, or if it's edible raw, so then you will be Pater. He doesn't say like the Rabbis that it's Kemalcha ben Jusai, it has to be completely cooked. So therefore, if it was Kemalcha ben Jusai and you continue cooking it, so then you would be Chayev. And the reason for that is because the definition is not just to make it edible, but if you enhance it for to becoming more edible, so then you would also be chayev. But if it's a davar shein tzarich bishul klal, you would be pater. If it was something which is edible raw and you're not enhancing that, it's already edible, so then you would be pater. So we thought that was just like Tosus. But comes the Shaar HaTzion here, and he gives a different explanation in the Rambam. In the Shaar HaTzion, in Shin Yud Ches Yudalid, he says, no, what does it mean, she'ein tzarich bishul klal? It doesn't mean that it's completely edible already. It means that it's both, either completely edible and you're not enhancing the taste, or just enhancing the taste alone. But he says that enhancing the taste would impact the bishul on Shabbos. And for the Rambam, when he says shein tzarich bishul klal, he means that you're not enhancing the taste, because part of the definition of bishul is part of that definition is enhancing the taste. So he says here, that's the quote of the Rambam. He says, "Pasha la'anias daiti." It's unclear why this is so pasha, but he says, "Pasha la'anias daiti." Tahanu davar shein mishtabech klal al yedei bishul. It doesn't enhance the taste, and the Rambam would hold that by peros v'chiyai gavna shu mishtabech al yedei bishul, that you would be chayev. If we're dealing with peros, where cooking it will enhance the taste, so then he thinks it's pasha that you will be chayev. And what's his proof? He brings a proof to this. He says it's pasha that you have to hold like this, because mayim is chayev mishum bishul. And mayim is edible just the way it is, cold. Cold water is edible. So it must be that through cooking it, you're enhancing the taste, which is also an assumption that through cooking water, you're changing the taste from being cold to hot. It changes the taste of the water. And that's his proof. And therefore, the Rambam was told that changing the taste will make you chayev. It's not so pasha within the Rambam. The stamp shot on the Rambam, he doesn't mention any of this. He just says she'ino tzarich bishul klal. In fact, I believe it's the Merkavah of Mishnah who's medayik in the Rambam. The Rambam puts this together with davar shayim mevushal kol tzarcho. He puts the two, the fact that a case of edible raw and when it's fully cooked, he puts them in the same line and puts them together. And the Gemara never puts the two together. In fact, The Gemara never says explicitly when it's edible raw that it's pater. So the Merkava's on Mishnah, I believe it's him, he's medayik and he says, oh, it must be that it's for the same reason. That which is nispashel called tzorcho is pater is for the same reason that davar shein tzorach bishul klal is pater. Mainly, since it's ready completely edible, so therefore your pater, you're going to be pater for both. I guess you could say that nispashel called tzorcho is also completely, you're not changing the taste if you cook it even further. One could make the claim that once it's nispashel called tzorcho, so you're not changing the taste. And that's really what the Rambam is getting at. So whenever you don't change the taste, so then that's when you're pater. But if you do change the taste, even in the case of davar sheino tzarach bishul klal, even when it's edible raw, but you do change the taste, so then in such a case, you would be chayiv. I guess that's one way to read it, but I believe in Merkava's Mishnah is medayik, and in this Rambam it says that it must be that it's just based on whether it's edible or not, because he connects it to nisbashel kol tzarcha. So, a potential nafkamina as to whether it's based on it becoming edible, or whether it's based on enhancing the taste, could be by coffee and by sugar. This was a question was asked to Rav Moshe by Rabbi Eider. And Rabbi Eider, just in general, if you want to know, Rabbi Eider asked a lot of questions to Rav Moshe on all of Hilchos Shabbos, and a lot of them are found in Rabbi Eider and Hilchos Shabbos, but they're also found in Igros Moshe and Dalet Ayin Dalet in Or Chaim Dalet Ayin Dalet. So there he goes through all these tshuvas that he asks for Moshe, and they're very short answers. So in Dalet Ayin Dalet, in Bishul, Tezayin, Rabbi Eider asks for Moshe that what would be if you cook instant coffee on Shabbos? And it's interesting to look at how he phrases the question. He says, Basias coffee nemes, instant coffee. So the Metzias is Mevashen as a coffee, Vachach miyavshen oso ba'avir cham biyoser. I think the Metzias is that when they make the instant coffee, what they first do is that they first boil the coffee beans and then they dry them. Then they it's silly. They roast it. So they accomplish bishul through two aspects. One is through the boiling. One is through the roasting. So yes, ha'im mishum zeh yesh la'achshiva k'mavushal kol tzorcho. So therefore, you're allowed to then put it rather than cook it on Shabbos because it's ready. It has been cooked. Oh, shema mishum she'ein tamo. Or should we say as follows, that since the taste is different, the instant coffee, the taste is different when it's cold than when you heat it up in water, so should we say that you are a chayv? And he quotes an Aruch HaShulchan, which the Rav Moshe already points out that the Aruch HaShulchan really doesn't really have to do with the question, but he quotes an Aruch HaShulchan. But before he gets to the Aruch HaShulchan, his question seems to be, do we go based on the taste, or do we go based on the fact that it's cooked? That essentially is the question of Rabbi Eider. And Rav Moshe answers that it's pashut, we go based on the fact that it's cooked. He says that we cooked it completely, it's completely cooked. The question is, what does it mean it's completely cooked? What is the hagdara of cooked for Moshe, for him to say that it's completely cooked? Because at first glance, this coffee is not edible, and if the hagdara for Bishul is the fact that it has to be edible, the instant coffee is not edible. So you have to say that it is edible in some way. It either was edible at a certain point in time, that within this process, let's say after you boiled it, it was edible, and that even though it's not edible now, but it has, let's say, one of the explanations that we had yesterday for the Rashba was that it's a chefza hamavushal, so even though it's not edible now, but it is defined as chefza hamavushal because at some point in time in the process it was cooked and it was edible. Or you could say that, no, it, even as is, this instant coffee is edible because even though you can't really eat it, but if, let's say, you put it into cold water, you didn't cook it, but you put it into cold water, so then it is edible. It might not taste good, but it is edible. So Moshe is assuming that it is cooked, and based on whether his definition is that it's a chafta mavushal or the fact that it's edible now, he says that it's cooked, and it doesn't make a difference that you are impacting its taste. So he seems to be disagreeing. It's interesting. He seems to be disagreeing with the Ramah, especially how the Mishnah Berurah understood the Ramah. The Mishnah Berurah understood the Ramah that the definition is the fact that you're changing the taste. Changing the taste will make you chayav on Shabbos. The Rav Moshe seems to, he doesn't take that into account, and he says that it's really just based on whether it's edible or not. And he says so too with sugar. He quotes the Zera Emes, he quotes the Shari Tshuva, who quotes the Zera Emes, who held that it's usher to cook sugar on Shabbos. And he says that sugar is edible. He says that you could eat sugar. In fact, kids eat sugar. If you give them sugar, they'll just eat sugar by itself. So sugar is edible, and since it's edible, so therefore you should really be putter. And he really disagrees with the Zera Emes. The Shara Tshuva quotes him a focus there. And he says even the Zera Emes, who holds that it's usher for the following reason. He says that because people might think that it's not cooked, or maybe he's misupik that maybe it didn't get cooked completely. For one of those outside factors, you could say that the idea of the Zera Emes to usher it is not based taste, but it's for some other outside factor, because Rav Moshe holds that impacting its taste is not the definition of Bishul. But one could say the Zera Emes doesn't explain his reason as to why it's usher to cook sugar on Shabbos, but one could explain that the Zera Emes is just based on this Or Zeruah, which seems to be the opinion of the Rama based on Rav Moshe, so it's not crazy for him to go based on the Rama. The Rama seems to hold that the definition of Bishul, or part of the definition of Bishul, is the fact that you're impacting its taste. So by sugar and by coffee, the Zera Emes is only talking about sugar, but by sugar and by coffee, one could say that you're chayev to cook it on Shabbos, according to the Zera Emes, because you are impacting its taste. Rav Moshe doesn't take that into account. Rav Moshe seems to completely ignore this factor. When Rabbi Eider asked the question, his other side was about the fact that it impacts its taste. He doesn't really address that in his answer at all. But one could say that as an explanation for the Zera Emes. Again, we pointed out that within the Or Zeruah, when he explains the Riva was Chozer Bo, so it doesn't have to be that that's the only definition. It doesn't have to be that the only definition is about impacting its taste. It could be that there are multiple definitions, and impacting its taste is just one of the definitions. Okay, so finally, I want to go to this Gemara in Menachos, on Nun Zayin Amna Aleph. So we already saw that for the Riva, you could have multiple definitions for Bishul on Shabbos. It seems to be from this Gemara Menachos also that there are multiple definitions. It's a very difficult Gemara here in Menachos, but it seems to be that there are multiple definitions of Bishul just from this Gemara alone. We'll read this Gemara. The Gemara is in Menachos, in Zayin Amr Aleph. It says, Gufa Amar Rabba Rechana Amar Rabbi Yochanan Hiniach Baso Agabi Gechalim. If you put meat on Gechalim, Hifich Bo Chayiv. If you turn over the piece of meat, so then you're chayiv on Shabbos. Lo hifich bo, but if you don't turn it over, if it's just cooked on that same side the whole time, so then you're putter. You're putter on Shabbos. The Gemara asks the obvious question, hechi dami, what's the case? Ilima di ilo hifich bo be lo bishul pshita. If you don't flip it over, if it's not going to cook, so then it's pashit that you're putter. Ela di ilo mehapet le nami have a bushel on mylo mechayiv. But if it will cook it, if you don't turn it over, so then you should be chayev. So what's going on here? What's the case? So the Gemara says, lo tricha. No, this is the case. De'ilo hifich bei, have a bishul mitzad echa kamacha ben jusai. If you don't flip it over, so then it's going to cook, but it will only cook kamacha ben jusai. V'chi mahapich bei, bishul mishneit stodin kamacha ben jusai. V'kamash malon, de'kol mitzad echa kamacha ben jusai, lo klumhu. In order to be chayev on Shabbos, to cook it, kamach b'jusai, it has to cook the entire piece of meat. It has to cook both sides of the meat. And then the next statement says, and the Gemara is only talking about kamach b'jusai, so the implication would be that if it wasn't kamach b'jusai, let's say it was special kol tzorcho, so then it does not have to cook both sides, it just has to cook a portion, which is exactly what the next line of the Gemara says. Amarava, Rava says, but if you just cook, I think Rashi over there says that it's in special kol tzorcho, if you cook it completely, just on one side, a kugaris, just a part of the piece of meat, so then you are chayev. So this, just again, to summarize it, in order to be chayev for kamacha ben jusai, if you roast a piece of meat for kamacha ben jusai, that it's only kamacha ben jusai, so then you're only going to be chayev if you roast it in its entirety, kamacha ben jusai. If only a part of it is roasted kamacha ben jusai, so then you'll be pater. But if you cook it completely, meaning espasho kol tzorcho, it's completely cooked, but only just on a portion of the piece of meat, then you'll also be chayiv. And so the question is, what's the difference? If the definition of bishul is to be espasho kamacha ben jusai, everyone agrees that if on Shabbos you cook it kamacha ben jusai, then you're chayiv. So then why is it that there's a difference between cooking it kamacha ben jusai, where it's only chayiv if it cooks the entire piece of meat, and if it's nispashal kol tzorcho, so then you'll be chayiv if it only cooks a part of the piece of meat. And the Rambam also paskins this Gemara in Tes Hay. The Rambam says, "Hiniach basar gabi kechalim im nitzlabo kigogeres." afilu b'shtayim v'shloshim mekomos chayiv, that if you complete, if you cook it, nispasho kol tzorcho, in just a part of the piece of meat, and just the, even if it's in multiple places, as long as it adds up to a krogeres, so then you'll be chayiv. Lo nitla bokir krogeres, avol nispasho kulo chetzi bishol chayiv. But if you cook it entirely, meaning the entire piece of meat, a chetzi bishol, pashup shat means kamacha ben yusai, so then you will be chayiv. Nispashal chetzi bishol mitzad echad pater. But if you only cook kamacha ben yusai on one side, so then you'll be pater, achi hachbo v'yispashal chetzi bishol mishnei tzadav. Essentially, he quotes the Gemara, and he says that in order to be chayiv for kamacha ben yusai, you have to cook the entire piece of meat. And in order to be chayiv, when you cook in a special kol tzorcho, so then it just has to be a part of the piece of meat. So the Kesef Mishnah quotes the Ramach here, who doesn't exactly ask. It looks like he's bothered with the same question that we addressed, which is what's going on here. Why would there be a difference between kamacha ben yusai and special kol tzorcho? He says in the middle of it, he says gam lo yadati mai chetzi bishol shehu chayiv. He's just wondering, like, what's going on here? What's this chetzi bishol that the Rambam is talking about here? Ki nispashe kamacha ben yusai kula bishul hu legabi Shabbos. He says, I don't understand. If this chetzi bishul that the Rambam is talking about here is kamacha ben yusai, so then who cares how much? Why does it have to be that you have to cook the entire piece of meat? As long as you just cook a portion of the piece of meat, you should be chayiv. Vim lo nispashe kamacha ben yusai, amai chayiv linen Shabbos. And if you didn't cook a kamacha ben yusai, if this chetzi bishul is not kamacha ben yusai, so if you cook the entire piece of meat, so then why would you be chayiv? The minimum amount that you have to cook it is that it has to be edible enough for kamacha ben yusai. So if you cook less than that, even if you cook the entire piece of meat, so then how does that accomplish anything? So I saw Rabbi Brown has a sefer. Rabbi Moshe Brown, he teaches in Yeshiva Farakway, so he has a sefer Tevis Moshe on the Lama Tes Malachos. So I saw that he gave the following answer. He says that it seems to be that there are two different ways to be chayiv for bishul. There's two different ways from this gemara. There's the nispashal kol tzorcho way to be chayiv for bishul, and then there's the kamacha ben yusai way to be chayiv for bishul. So he says that really the reason is because there's two different hagdaras, definitions for bishul. One definition for bishul is to improve its taste, like we saw before, and another definition for bishul is similar to what we saw, the way Rabbi Willig explained for the Rashba, which is to have a chefza hamavushal. It's to create a chefza which is defined as a chefza hamavushal. And he makes a certain assumption here that in order for you to be chayiv for improving the taste, it has to be completely cooked. It's an assumption that he's making, which one could question, but he's assuming that in order to be chayiv within the approach that you're improving the taste, you have to completely cook it. If it's just kemacha ben yusai, if it's just half cooked or a third cooked or a little bit more up until the point of nispashal kol tzorcho, so then that's not enough. That's not improving the taste enough to be chayiv. So he says as follows. So when it's nispashal kol tzorcho, you completely cooked it, so that improved the taste. Once that improved the taste, so it doesn't make a difference how much you cooked it. As long as you cooked it krugeres, so then you'll be chayiv. You don't have to cook the entire piece. As long as you cook the minimum amount that you have to cook to be chayiv on Shabbos, and you improve the taste so much that it's nespasho kol tzorcho, so then you'll be chayiv. But if you only cook it kamacha ben yusai, so then you didn't improve the taste. So to just cook that amount on one side, or on a portion of it, so then that's not going to help within the perspective that the Hagdara Bishul is just improving the taste. Improving the taste for kamacha ben yusai isn't going to impact anything. The only way to be chayiv for kamacha ben yusai is the other way that we define bishul. The other way that we define bishul is that it's a chafza hamavushal. In order for it to be a chafza hamavushal, you have to cook the entire piece in its entirety. So therefore, when you cook it, kamacha ben yusai, you have to completely cook it. If you only partially cook it, if it's only half cooked on one side, that's not defined as a chafza hamavushal. It's only going to be defined as a chafza hamavushal if you cook it in its entirety. But if you cook it in its entirety, so then it's enough if you just cook it kemacha ben yusai. You don't have to completely cook it. It's already going to be defined as a chafza mevushal if you just cook it kemacha ben yusai. And this is how the Tevis Moshe, Rabbi Brown, explains this puzzling Gemara. Which is an interesting idea here that he uses to say that there are really two hagdaras for bishul, which will impact how much of the piece of meat you have to cook. There are really two ways to go. Either it's improving the taste, which will happen with nisbashal kol tzorcho, as long as you just cook a part of the piece of meat with nisbashal kol tzorcho, that improves the taste. Or it has to be defined as a chatzim mevushal, and it's only defined as a chatzim mevushal if you cook it completely. It's not just on one side, but you have to cook it on both sides for it to be defined as a chatzim mevushal. And that will be accomplished even if you just cook it kemachal ben drusai. Fine. So in the end of the day, just we're closing in our topic here of what the hagdara of bishul is, at least with regards to the bishul of ofel. So we have various explanations as to what the hagdara of bishul is, but it could really be categorized into two different parts. One part is, and this is all within just the totzah of bishul, of the outcome of bishul. One part is, what did you accomplish through the bishul? Did you improve it? Did you make it edible from not edible? Did you make it even more edible beyond that? Did you improve the taste? That's one category. One category is, what did you accomplish? What did you physically accomplish through cooking the piece of meat? And then you have another category, which we had, which was the Rashba. And also, Reb Brown wants to say that this is also the opinion of the Rambam, as we just mentioned, that the Rambam has multiple definitions, which is that you have to create a chefza hamavushal. It's not really about what does it accomplish, but you have to create this chafta, which is viewed as a chafta mavushal. It was cooked through the process of putting it on the fire. So there's a nafkamina between these two approaches. We're going to get to later on, in a couple of weeks, the fact that right now we're dealing with the totzah of the malacha, what you accomplish through the malacha. There's also the, on a derisa level, what is the mitzvah malacha that you have to do to be chayav for bishul. There's kli rishon, kli sheni, what are you chayav, the different maisas that you have to do. Certain maisas are viewed as a maisa of bishul derisa, some actions are not. Even if you could come out with the same totzah, perhaps, we'll get to it in a couple of weeks, but there are different maisas that are viewed as a bishul derisa and some which aren't. One of them is, let's say you cook it through the sun. The sun cooks your egg, or the sun cooks something. So we paskin that it's not bishul midiraisa. Might be bishul midirabanan, but it's definitely not bishul midiraisa. So let's say you have a piece of meat which was cooked through the sun before Shabbos. So halachically, this doesn't have a gedder of a piece of meat which was cooked, because halachically it's not bishul midiraisa. But at the same time, you could eat it. You change its taste, and you made it edible. It's now edible. You could completely eat it. Let's say you could have a piece of meat which is cooked through the sun, and it's now completely edible. Or perhaps, let's give a more modern day example, assuming that this is the case, that a comparable case to bishul b'chama is you cook something with a microwave, which might not be bishul midiraisa. So you cook with a microwave from before Shabbos, and it's completely cooked. So now, are you allowed to then go ahead and put it on the fire on Shabbos? It should really depend on the two categories that we had. If the hagdara of bishul midiraisa is either the fact that you're improving its taste, or you're impacting whether it's edible or not, or making it even more edible, one of those three options. So in the end of the day, putting it under the sun or in the microwave, so that accomplished that. So it's completely edible, and you change the taste. So it's ready bishul. So we apply ein bishul achar bishul. You would then be allowed to put it on the fire on Shabbos. But if we say this other idea of the pshat in the Rashba, or the way that Rabbi Brown explained for the Rambam, that there's this other aspect of bishul, which is that you're defining this as a chatzah mevushal, since before Shabbos it's not defined as a chatzah mevushal because halachically this wasn't cooked. This isn't defined as something which is cooked. So therefore, when you then go ahead and put it on the fire on Shabbos, you are now creating a chatzah mevushal. So this seems to be a machlokes. I don't know if I want to call it a machlokas between the Prima Gadim and the Shmir Shabbos, but there's one opinion found in the Prima Gadim, there's one opinion found in the Shmir Shabbos. The Prima Gadim in Shin Yud Ches, in the Mishpas of Zahav, in Shin Yud Ches Vav, he discusses this case, and he says, Nistapakti, a mesupak, Bishol Bechame Tveria, Vitoldos Chama, let's say during the week it was cooked Bechame Tveria or Vitoldos Chama, where it's not, it's not bishul midiraisa. In mevashel achikach b'chamei or, if you then cook it on the fire on Shabbos, imchayev. And he says v'yira de pater hu. He thinks you're a pater. Why? Dekvar nispal bebishulo. Because you already accomplished that which you accomplished through the bishul. Seemingly, the properties of cooking was already accomplished. You already, it's already edible. It's ready. It's already changed the taste. So therefore, he thinks that you would be pater. I tried to look it up. I couldn't find where it was in the Shmir Shabbos, but I happened to have it in my notes that the Shmir Shabbos argues and he holds that it's usher. I want to look it up just to confirm that. But I think the Shmir Shabbos argues and he says that it would be usher to cook that on Shabbos. So that seems to be these two different opinions. This machlokas seems to depend upon the two different categories that we had as to what exactly is the definition of bishul on Shabbos. Just a mar makom from yesterday, just to end. The Gra, if you want to see the Gra inside, it's a very short Gra, who holds this idea of ein malacha after malacha, that if you accomplish the malacha from before Shabbos, so then there's no malacha after Shabbos. It's in Shinchof Aleph Yud Beis. If you want to look it up, it's with regards to Tochen. He's discussing that with regards to Tochen, where he says ein Tochen after Tochen, that if you have something which is already nitchon from before Shabbos, so then there's no iser to then be to perform that malacha on Shabbos itself. So we just concluded the topic of the Hagdara of Bishul Ba'ochlin. We're now going to come tomorrow. We're going to deal with the Hagdara of Bishul B'mayim Shemen. It might be that there are different Hagdaras of Bishul for different items, for Mayim, for Shemen, for metals. We'll see that there might be differences between the two.